Blog Talk Radio.
Stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Well, good evening. I'd like to welcome you to the Stop Child Abuse Now talk radio show, sponsored by NASCA, which stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Penelope Bennett, and I am from Bellevue, Washington, and I am here with my co-host and NASCA's founder, Bill Murray, from California. We are on West Coast time this evening. It is 5 o'clock on Monday, January 10th, 2022, and this is scan number 2831. So tonight we're going to have a very special type of show. It's going to be an open discussion forum where we bring up a topic that's related to child abuse, trauma prevention, intervention, recovery. Before we begin the show, I would like to encourage anybody who's just streaming in and listening to the show to become an active panel member and participate in the show. No experience necessary. You can participate live by calling the following number. It is area code 646-595-2118. So just dial area code 646-595-2118. You'll come to the show in a listen-only mode, and you'll be able to participate in our discussion this evening. So before we begin the show, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about NASCA and NASCA's mission. As I mentioned a bit earlier, NASCA is all about child abuse, trauma prevention, intervention, recovery. We have a single purpose at NASCA, and it's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas and neglect, and we do so with only especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, sometimes abbreviated as CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And the second goal, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, recovery. So we invite you, please, to call in and to participate in the show. It's a great way also to get involved with NASCA. The area code is 646-595-2118. So, Bill, I'm going to unmute your microphone and just welcome you into the show tonight. Thanks for being with me here, Bill.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's always my pleasure and my privilege to be hosting the shows and to be involved with NASCA. And I wanted to see if you had any suggestions or topics that were at the forefront of your mind that you wanted to put for discussion tonight.
Well, yeah. What I want to talk about is the fact that we don't have a guest here. and this is a problem. There are a few problems with what's going on at NASCA at the current time. And I think we should just be open about them and, see what we can see if we can explain things to the membership and also to there may be some people who are new, but let's explain things so that it's understood that we have a mission that we're trying very hard to accomplish, but none of us are professionals. We're all volunteers and, you know, non-paid volunteers. But we depend on each of us in our own capacities stepping forward, and a certain number of us have to step forward in order to keep the ball rolling, right? So one of those balls is weeknights. We have a talk show, which we're on right now, Monday through Friday. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have a need for what we call special guests. And special guests are simply people that come on and they tell their story. They tell it not in the speech fashion, but by way of being interviewed by our hosts. Our hosts are trained to not take them too far ahead and not take them too far behind and so forth. So they manage them to get the majority of pertinent information on the show. And it's 90 minutes, so it sounds like it's a long time, but it's not. It disappears. And the idea, though, is to I think every survivor ought to be telling their story. That's just my opinion. Now, of course, we don't press anybody. We don't make anybody do anything. But I think, you know, from my perspective, once I started telling my story, I started healing. I mean, I really, I maybe have an intellectual understanding of healing, but I really didn't have the experience until I started talking. And, I think telling your story allows others to tell you their story back or to comment on your story back. And we frequently have an experience that's unexpected in that the other times we've told our story or tried to tell our story, we've been admonished. You know, we've been told, just get over it. You know, it's not that big a deal. You know, it happened a long time ago. And all of that is BS, excuse my language, but it is. Because the truth is, it does matter. We need to not be silent about it. We need to be open about it, frankly, and at least open in terms of sharing it with people who understand, for example, survivor groups like ours, or a therapist, or somebody who's trained to understand what they're listening to is vitally important to the newcomer. And then, you know, have the experience of repeating over and over again, because you will eventually become more and more comfortable with your story until it turns around from being the worst thing you could tell about yourself to the best thing you have, because it's your experience, it's what you have to offer the newcomer that follows you. And most of the newcomers who listen to these shows and have not told their story before are simply impressed by the fact that nobody kicked anybody out. Nobody told them they couldn't say that. You know, nobody said, don't come back again. And we just simply don't do that to people. So, you know, we welcome people in. Just the opposite. We say, welcome to the Nazca family. You're a member of the Nazca family now. We're delighted that you're here, and so forth. So you don't get admonished, you get welcomed. So that's what I would say. I think we should talk a little bit about that. If we can get people to call in and help us, I think we could get a pretty good discussion going, because this is not the only issue that right now our organization is suffering a bit from. But I think it's fixable, but we have to put it on the front burner and discuss it and get things straightened.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know we just had a caller join us, area code 617-834. I won't say the last four digits. I think I know who this is, and I'll unmute your mic, but I have a feeling, are your initials, and I'm unmuting your microphone, 617, are your initials NB, N as in Nancy, B as in Brown?
B as in Vanessa.
Yes, this is our beautiful Nazca sister, Nancy Brown. Nancy, thank you for calling in. And, you know, Bill, I wanted to, Nancy, as you're probably aware, we're having a open discussion night. And I think that's a great topic for discussion is not only night shows and giving people the opportunity to volunteer and come on and tell their story, but I think the reason why it's such a big part of really as a survivor, you know, part of the healing process, and what makes NAFTA and this platform of special guest night so unique and to me special is the fact that it's a platform where, and Bill mentioned this, when it's a safe place to tell your story, and it is a such a supportive place to tell your story, and in very, very similar shoes, who understand. And Bill made that point, and I just wanted to reemphasize that, because I have been in therapy and healing in my healing journey for about 4 years. Very, very intense cognitive behavioral therapy. I was going twice a week to two different very specialized specialists in trauma, informed, trained. I was actually doing body work because I disconnected, disassociated from my body. I was doing so many different modalities in my healing journey, and it was really became a full-time job for me. And I will say that coming out of the NAFTA show and telling my story for the first time, I had already told it to some very close friends who were not adult survivors of child abuse. I had already told it to my my trauma-informed trained psychologist and my trauma-informed trained therapist. But there was something about telling it on this platform and with the panel who were survivors, adult survivors of child abuse and sexual child abuse, where for the first time, as Bill said, I felt heard, and it was an incredible experience for me. And I felt like I had come home. I felt like I could, you know, walk outside and stand proud. And I just felt like I had completely, completely entered. I'm almost into another world. I had never felt the sense of freedom that I'd felt and really belonging. And hopefully I'm articulating but that is the platform that I found when I told my story on the NAFTA show for the first time to the world. And instead of feeling that, you know, thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, how am I going to – when I before I started the show, I thought, how am I going to show my face tomorrow? You know, I'm going to tell the world about my child abuse and all different forms of maltreatment, including sexual abuse. And I thought I wouldn't be able to show my face. I mean, the exact opposite happened, because I woke up the next morning and I had never felt – it was the most empowering feeling I'd ever had to be able to come on the show and tell my story. So we know that there are so many adult survivors of child abuse that are in different stages of their healing journey and that may just be on the precipice of starting it. We know there are so many. We know that we have many opportunities to bring on guests to give them this platform. It's a matter of how do we make that happen. So if anybody's listening and you want to, you know, hopefully hearing about my experience has helped a little bit, and maybe given some additional context or my own, if you will, of how impactful that exercise was for me, the experience was for me. So I just wanted to add that, Bill, about my own experience.
No, I appreciate that. That's great, you know. And I'll tell you something else. As I said, we're having trouble now with getting people to come on the show and want to tell their story. There isn't a big measure about who you have to be or what you have to be to come on the show. You simply have to be a person involved in child abuse and trauma. It could be a professional, too, but most of them are survivors who are willing to talk about it. So it's really all it is. And we don't press people into just divulging things they're not ready to talk about, for example, in their story. So a newcomer is story is safe with us because we don't force you to do anything. We consider it a privilege to take on your story, to hear your story, to be the witness for your story if you're telling it for the first time especially. This is a privilege, you know. And we remember, each one of us, how it felt when we told our story for the first time and how scared we were, frankly. Many of us were. Mm-hmm. How unsure we were. I don't know if this is a good idea, you know. But I'll try it anyway, you know, because so-and-so said it would be okay, so I'm going to believe him or her. but we're all also responsible for outreach, what's called outreach. So maybe we have stopped, you know, being told that. There are themes that we haven't talked about in a long time, and that's one of them, is that we don't have any kind of advertising or promotion. So all of us have to promote what we do at NASCA. I call that outreach. And everybody can do it. Like, we have so much material to offer the survivor and anyone who wants to be educated about child abuse. We have so much material. You could almost direct anybody to, and they would find something. They'd find a lot of things, frankly. But they have to be directed because they don't know it's here. Now, we are finding ourselves listed more and more under things like hotlines and government agencies even and so forth. I just found out that we're in Wikipedia, NASCA is. I said, okay, I don't know. We didn't do that. Somebody did it. Somebody picked up these things. And, you know, we're very grateful when Child Help puts us as one of their resources or one of the, like I say, the hotline people. And that's because somebody has reached out to them and said, you know, there's this resource you may not know about. There's this organization. It's pretty special, and it's completely free. You know, that always appeals to people. And, you know, it is for free. It's for free and for fun. This is fun, you know, to have a community of people surrounding each other, all of us, you know, growing, you know, and available for other people who want to come in and start growing too. And, you know, I think it's exciting, you know, to do that. But we have to keep it going now because it might be COVID. Might be the fact that we've been doing it for a while and it's like people are yawning. or it might be, you know, something else, but I don't know what it is. But I want people to call in tonight, see, and tell us, why have you not been calling in? Because we used to get 6 or 8 people on one of these shows very often. And we're also having trouble getting people to sign up as a special guest, which is very easy to do. Ultimately, they contact me at this point, and I send them a little form that with the information that I need, and they fill it out and send it back and choose a date. And that's their date from that point on. So, you know, you get all of this is free, and I think it's fairly well organized, well enough so that we've survived 12 years, I think it is, Penelope, you know, something like that. So unless we're doing something right.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I wanted to actually invite Nancy on because we've been, you know, talking about the platform of the special guest night and the shows. And I just wanted to welcome the conversation, and I didn't know if she had anything to add from her perspective on either how the own personal story and testimony helped her in her healing journey or about NASCA outreach. So I wanted to invite her and thank her for calling in as well.
Oh, sure.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you guys for having me tonight. It's always a pleasure to join.
Oh, we need to adjust your microphone. Actually, both of you, but especially Nancy. Now you're way off mic. You have to bring the mic closer to your mouth. In other words.
Okay. Can you hear me?
It's better. Yes, much better.
Or is this better?
That's good.
Okay. All right, guys. I was saying thank you guys for having me. It's always a pleasure to join. you all in such great discussions. And these discussions are so important and so needed because they really do need to be had, right? We know that with people dealing with COVID and times changing and people having to be home more, we have had a rise in depression, suicide, domestic violence, abuse, different things. People are dealing with a lot of different emotions, job loss, changing. There's a lot of changes are going on. And for some people who are walking in their healing journey, they're really getting in touch with themselves. They understand the importance of connecting with yourself and speaking and having a voice, especially if you were abused as a child, right? Because, you know, when you were, if you went through abuse as a child, you know your voice, you had no voice, right? Your voice was taken from you. And then getting to a place of growth, understanding, and learning, you know, you're excited to share good news. Like, hey, there's life after this. There's this, guys, there's that. And you understand the benefits of sharing your story, the importance of the tidbits that you leave behind for the next people coming who, unfortunately, every day someone's experiencing abuse, okay? Someone's committing suicide every day. So we understand that as we're already accepted that and walking in our healing. But for people who are trying to figure out how to heal and trying to, they're just now accepting that they're even allowed to talk about it with a counselor or even to think about it, right? To remember it and try to heal from it or what have you. The thought of coming forward and sharing their story and being judged or, you know, and when you get judged, you're not just being judged by family members, friends. It's, you know, it's everybody around you. You know, you're going to have to deal with everybody around you now knows you in ways that you didn't even know them, and they have the ability to judge you. And that's kind of where you get stuck. That's that place of fear. And that's why a lot of times when you hear when we talk about, you know, fear is our worst enemy, right? Because fear keeps us stuck. We understand that. But again, that's when you're walking and you're healing and you're learning and you're healing and you're breaking down and you're getting back up and you're getting back stronger. And in your process, you're learning these things. Whereas people who have not even accepted that first step, they're fighting their way through. So we just have to just be here to speak about it and to remind them that they're not alone and to let them know that this is a safe place with people who actually can relate and can understand and will walk with you through your process. And you're not alone and you don't have to be embarrassed. And if you are embarrassed, there's still ways that you can still reach out, at least to take the first step, even to talk to us privately, if that's one of the steps that you have to do first before you come forward to our platform, to the platform, the community. It's a process for everybody. And, at least we're here to help, and you're not alone if you're listening, if somebody is listening who may be a little apprehensive about sharing, scared, in fear.
I think it's such an excellent point. Well, very many excellent points, Nancy. But especially about, and Bill mentioned it too, about just the things we lived in fear as children of telling. Either we were threatened of what would happen to us if we told, or
right.
Just, right, that was just something that was ingrained was to not tell,
right.
to carry the burden, to carry the secret. And so it does feel very uncomfortable. It can feel very uncomfortable for the first time, whether you're telling a therapist, telling a friend, telling a, you know, anyone, the first time that you actually disclose the very things that you've kept secret for so long. And so, and Bill's point too about, you know, the first time telling your story publicly, how nervous one can feel. And that is completely normal. Absolutely, and that is completely normal. I remember I was shaking. I was shaking my boots before I told my therapist for the first time. I mean, I was so scared. And I don't know why, you know, something compels us to tell our story on that platform for the first time. But I felt, and I don't know about you and Bill, but I felt after I had finished the show for the first time telling my story on a public forum, I felt empowered. I felt thankful. I still felt a little nervous afterwards, but mostly I felt a kind of relief and strength, and it surprised me. It was the opposite of how I felt that I'd feel. I don't know if you and Bill had that experience or not, but I certainly did. I was a little taken aback and at how I felt after I had spoken for the first time publicly.
Oh yeah, for me it was definitely empowering and surprisingly empowering, you know. And I was and pleasingly empowering. Now the next day it didn't stay as a constant day after day after day, and there was a time when it started to wane a little, but I had to start getting involved again. You know, that's what I found out about that. But really, when you tell your story, you are giving of yourself, and I think that's why you feel the way you just described, Penelope, because you're giving, you're doing what you can to offer that to somebody else and to give it up from yourself. That matters, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. And I know Nancy was just about to remark on something as well.
Yep. What was that last part?
Well, I knew you were going to remark on something regarding what I had just shared as well. I wanted to give you an opportunity to remark as if you wanted to as well.
I'm in agreement with you guys that, again, when you're in that place where you're ready to start making those first steps towards your healing, it's very scary anytime you're going to speak up or share your story. Every time I have to share my story, I get these feeling before I have to share, because I'm like, oh, am I sharing too much? Am I saying too much? Am I ready? You know, sometimes the enemy will try to put stuff in your mind to make you not share your story, right? But when you do get through that process, that scary feeling, and you do share the story, and then you get to the other side, and then you see how it helps other people, and how people respond, you know, how people are able to, wow, thank you so much for sharing. You feel a sense of empowerment that you are able to be strong and stand up and be a voice. Again, a voice for the voiceless.
Yep. Exactly.
I think it's great, empowering.
You know, one thing I realized the first time that I told my story on public forum, which was NAFTA, was it also dawned on me, and I think it was just because I was on that platform, there were panel members who were also adult survivors of child abuse, and I'd really never been involved in group recovery. I'd never really told my story with an audience of support of people, adults who had also experienced child abuse. And never had I shared and had, you know, that sort of support, that venue, if you will. And what I realized, and I think it was because of the panel, because of some of the comments Bill mentioned, you know, the panel members are all adult survivors, so a lot of times they'll offer a comment or add, you know, parallels to their own story, which really does make you feel like you're not alone. But I realized, as I had told my story the first time, and I was so nervous, but I realized that me telling my story was so much bigger than myself. I realized that the enormity of what NAFTA calls its mission statement as a worldwide pandemic. I realized how big the issue was and how important it was to be a part of breaking the silence, because it's such a bigger issue than just myself. And I felt like I stood up for something, not only for myself, but for something so much bigger, and that I could contribute. I realized after telling my story that I could contribute in that way. And as an aside, NASA is a great beyond the platform, the special guest night is a great way to an activist action and join in and donate, you know, one's time, talents, and treasures to this issue of the pandemic of child abuse. So, but to your point, Nancy, because you had brought that up, you speak to the issue and not only to your own story. So
yeah, it's actually somewhat surprising to us that we have so much to say, and that realization manifests almost immediately, because I can't tell you how many people have told their story from, say, a podium or a stage or something for the first time, and as they're leaving the room, they might not even feel like they did a good job. They might be going, I don't know if I did so well, you know, on the way out. And then what will happen is, people in the crowd will come to you and say, wow, I got so much out of that. You know, I really identified with that. You know, that same thing happened to me. And all of a sudden, you're amongst each other. You're amongst fellow survivors when you didn't expect that. And, you know, it happens quite often that we have that kind of right away. Before we even leave the room, we have that kind of acknowledgement, you know. Now that's really special. I mean, you don't get that everywhere, you know. So,
right. It is.
I don't know. Some people go to the therapist over and over and over, and when they finally start talking to one of us, they go, I don't know, I've been in therapy a long time and it's not working. So, I think
right.
This thing we call it group. Right, therapy, or it's not group therapy, but a group, having a group and belonging to a family, a group.
Yeah.
Really matters.
Having a tribe. Having a tribe, right.
Yeah, it really matters. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that one member of the tribe is in California and the other is in Florida. It doesn't matter. You know, it does not matter.
Right.
So
I agree. I think when you have that one person come up to you and say, thank you for sharing that. Oh, my God, I went through that. I know I've had that a few times where I'll talk about a subject, like, and somebody in the group will come to me and be like, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for talking about that. And I'm like, wow, people really went through that, you know. But it made us connect, you know. And I'm like, you know, even if I help one person, I did my job. I did what I was supposed to be doing. I was walking in alignment, and I was on my assignment, and I did what I was supposed to do. Even if that one person is the one that's moved or touched by what I shared, you know, it feels good. It's rewarding.
Yeah. You know, another thing that I've tried to do is I've tried to be clever. I've tried to be pithy. I've tried to throw in an occasional memorable phrase. And when I do that, I fail. And I can feel myself fail. When I just get up there, I say a prayer, I get up at the mic, and I start talking, I don't know what I've said at the end of it. Because my mind, I'll go all over the place. And watching the time, I don't go over time, but watching the time, and in the last few minutes, I try to tie it all together, but I don't know what I've said.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Well, those are the times when people appreciate it more than others, because they're natural.
Yeah, because God's moving. Natural.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, that's God's moving. It flowed how it needed to flow. Right.
Yep.
Well, mine was doing the same thing.
There is something that is just so, I think, empowering too, about not having to put a filter on it. You know, not having to watch what you say in terms of just disclosing the truth, you know, being worried about disclosing the truth because you've, you know, you've had to hold back for so long. There's something freeing about speaking about the truth of the events that happened to you, you know, that forbidden truth, that, you know, that shame that, you know, that we carry as a heavy burden that has been, you know, that has been kept inside and held inside. You know, there's something empowering about saying, I'm going to speak my truth. I'm going to talk about the experience that happened to me. And I'm not going to, be graphic about it, but I'm not going to filter the truth. I'm going to give the raw, you know, real testimony of what I experienced, and naming the type of abuse and naming how it made me feel and naming, you know, the effects of the trauma, you know, which is a horrible thing that happens, a heinous thing that happens that you hold inside, which is the definition of trauma. You know, a lot of manifestations of addictions and behaviors. To just be able to speak about it without that filter is also, you know, without having to think that you have to be clever and have, you know, a certain speech outline that you have to follow to the letter. To me, that's just, you know, you're just on a costume, if you will, a costume of words, but to actually wear yourself as you are, you know, to show without the costume, to shed the costume and really to show authentically through your words, you know, your experience is very, to me, very empowering.
Well, let me give another pitch here for people who might be listening to call in, if you don't mind. Hoping that people will join us and help us learn a little bit more about ourselves, because we've been doing some things poorly, I guess, and maybe other things nicely. You could also compliment it, you said you don't want. But we need people to call in. We need to bounce things off of you tonight. And that's what tonight's all about. It's sort of a discussion about the NASCA experience, what's working and what's not. So simply call in on our dedicated line at 646-595-2118. And please do join us. You have Penelope, Bill, and Nancy here. And we'd like to have a couple more people and their perspective be a part of this show, too. It's just about what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. What do you like? What don't you like? Anything at all. And we won't take it personally. Well, I will, because no, I won't. and join us on the show. Nancy, I stepped on you just then. Sorry. And Penelope, too. Sorry, I got stepped on both of you.
Oh, please. Ooh. Okay.
Okay. But, I really do want people to call in, 646-595-2118.
Yes, do not be shy. No experience necessary. If you want to call in for the first time, that is welcome.
That's right.
We welcome you.
That's right. Yep. That's right. No experience necessary is a good way to put it.
So while we're waiting for some additional callers to call in, Bill, you know, you mentioned something else about NASCA's been around for a long time, over a decade. Was it 12 years or longer?
Yeah, about
12
yeah.
years. So I can tell you from my own experience of what I've witnessed, I've also been, I think, a testimonial in this. NASCA has helped a lot of people over those. It has reached a lot of people, not only in this country, but worldwide. NASCA has helped a lot of people. We've done how many shows, and I know that there was a different television shows before. They were called SCAN, which stands for Stop Child Abuse Now. There are about 800 other shows under a different name. But NASCA's almost done about 4,000 shows. Isn't that correct, Bill?
I think it's more like 3,000.
Let me see.
I think it's about 3,000 shows right now, 2831, and about 700 of the other shows' name.
Okay.
Yeah.
500, almost 3,600. That's a lot of shows.
Yep, exactly. We've done a mess of them. A mess.
Yeah. That's a lot of people that have either participated in the shows, been guests on the shows, or, and that doesn't count all the listens. So on all the shows, all the that are archived, so you can go back and listen to them, they've been recorded. I go back to the archive shows, some are my own, some are others. And you can be anywhere from, 30 to in the hundreds of listens. So if you think about how many adult survivors of people in this world have gone on to the archive and listened to those shows, I mean, if you were to guess, how many people do you think have been touched through just the platform of the shows for NASCAR?
Well, you'd have to multiply the number of shows. Every show has two people assigned to it, and usually a couple more that are at least calling in, at least, and a guest. So let's say every episode, until recently, I mean, every episode had five or six people, following it. So that's five or six right there. And then you have all the people that listen later and all the people that listen in archives. And, a lot of people, they don't come the night of the show because it's too late for them, but they do it first thing in the morning. they mm-hmm. follow the show. And so they don't count because you're not seeing that number. At least you have to be watching at the right time for that number to be added in. So I'm going to say, I'll just say keep it conservative. There's probably five per show at least. There are some shows that are thousands. I mean, that's amazing, but it's true. And others that are a couple dozen. But I'd say, you'd be safe to say there are multiple listeners to every show. For every person that's on the air, there's another one or two at least that's listened to it later. And in some cases, there's hundreds. It's hard to estimate. We have never been a group that's had our hands tied by trying to improve our performance. We don't pay a lot of attention to the numbers. I mean, I am now because I'm having a little trouble getting people to sign up for new shows. And also, we have some positions open for hosts, which we have not filled. So these things are things that we need to get filled again. And they've been done by various people. They're not really hard, but they require a commitment. People come forward and they want to participate. We'll train them. We'll teach them how to do it. And then when they're ready, we'll put them on for themselves. But there's a whole myriad of things that there's a myriad of things that are not about the show, too, that we need. We don't have anybody doing the newsletter right now, for example. Now, we've done the newsletter in the past for several years, and then we lost our newsletter editor. We're not sure what happened to her. But that's just sitting there, and every month we get charged for it. And every month we don't use it, we're getting charged for it without using it. So, and all the materials that would go into it are there. And I'm really pretty free about allowing, let's say somebody came forward who has a little bit of editing skills or some writing skills, who says, I'd like to try that. Well, okay. And then I help them. I mean, we don't just say, okay, go get it. We say, here's how we've done it before. Here's how the tools work. Here's where you do it and so forth. And, we have a process by which we don't just dump it on you. We turn it over. And in the case of the newsletter, I follow the person who does the newsletter. So they prepare the first few newsletters, at least they prepare them, but don't send them out. And as soon as they think they're ready, they notify me and I go look at them before they're posted. And so that's a really good method that's worked because we can both be looking at the newsletter as changes are made. And you can readily see, what tweaks are recommended by me. And because I've learned over time how to use it. Constant contact is what it is. And, we already have a list. The list is, it's 1,100 people or something. Well, that's 1,100 people we don't reach every month. And we have almost nobody ever gets off the list. The list changed by one or two people every month. It's usually an addition. Sometimes it's an addition and a subtraction. So it stays about the same number, and it has for a long time. So that means people are not, you know, getting tired of it. So we have that there, and we just haven't used it yet. So or recently, you know, we have, the Ambassador Project that we've talked about so many times. We have the calendar of events that I'd like people to start adding things to. We have opportunities for people to write, say, essays or something. We can post on the website for them. We have the daytime meeting three times a week, which is a recovery meeting, recovery group kind of, where it's on Zoom. And to do anything to go to Zoom, you just, you know, look at the front page of the website, follow directions, and you're in. And that frequently has 15 or 20 people at a time, you know. There's not a lot of crossover between one show and one meeting. The shows and the meetings don't mix a lot, so they're kind of an independent group, but that's okay. There's a need, and we're going to keep it going because there is a need, a demonstrated need. And demonstrable need is something we want to know about. Plus, we have the ability to do other things than we're doing. The way NASCA grew, Penelope, was it didn't start completed, you know. It started like a blank page, frankly, is what it started as. And as we started adding things to the website, you know, other sections came along and other themes came along, and the radio show came along, and then eventually the meeting came along, and these projects like the Ambassador Project didn't exist. Nobody's ever done that. You know, nobody's ever listed the groups and services all over the world that we've done. And we're ready. We stand ready to have them, you know, repeat, have them added to as their interactive a project. That's an interactive project. Now, we have somebody from the 619 area. I don't know if you noticed this, Penelope. I don't have my cheat sheet open.
Yeah, so let's unmute the mic and... In. So, welcome, area code 619-212. I've unmuted your mic if you'd like to say hello and identify yourself. It's up to you, but we'd love to hear from you. This is Penelope and Bill and Nancy.
Hi, guys. Yeah, this is Regular Girl, and I just called to listen, so I'm just getting here and tuning in. So, probably should mute me up. I don't know if I can raise my hand or something if I decide I want to say anything, but for now I'm going to listen because I don't know what you're talking about. I just got here. I'm listening.
Okay, great. Okay.
Here's how you do it. Press one,
go on, go.
And the hand goes up. You press one the second time, and the hand goes down. Try it now, and I'll tell you if it works. Press one.
All right, wait. I have to get back into the screen.
Oh.
Sorry. And it's working really slowly today. Okay, almost there. Almost there. Woo. Okay. What's that? Nothing happened?
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Okay.
Okay, let me...
Okay.
Wait, no, let's try this. Here we go. Here we go. Here's another one. Another screen. I think this is the right one. Anything?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, it's not working then. Okay.
That's okay.
Oh, my, wait, I have...
Yeah, another one. And another one. Now you're muted. No. So just speak up when you want to speak up, and that's fine.
I'll just mute myself in the meantime. That's what I'll do.
Yeah, mute yourself, exactly. We'll keep you open over here. Thanks, Regular Girl, for calling in. And I know she will often make comments, even though she doesn't intend to. She doesn't know what the themes are that we've been talking about. So And this is just a general show on the state of NASCA, because I felt it was time for us to do a kind of a critical look at some of the things that we're doing right, some of the things that we're doing wrong, and give an opportunity for the membership, the family, to you know, to chime in too and give their feelings, thumbs up, thumb down, and so forth. So that's all we're doing tonight. We don't have a special guest. We have four people on the line: Penelope, Bill, Nancy, and Regular Girl.
So I don't want to put Nancy on the spot, but I know that she's been waiting for a while. I don't know if you want to weigh in, Nancy, if you have any thoughts about just, you know, outreach and the types of things that you think are working well within NASCA and things that you can see that we have looking for input.
Hello. All right. I was muted for a little bit. I think that, you know, we offer a lot of different support groups and different ways that we can help people and reach out to people. Maybe doing a flyer saying, you know, are you ready to share your story? Doing something like that, kind of to let people know that this platform is open so that people can share their story. So we all share it. And then getting back to posting the interview on the main page when it's done, little things like that. But I know that there's great advantages of joining this community, but some people just don't know about us, so it doesn't know that it exists. So probably us working together a little harder with the marketing so they know that this is available, because people are going through, I already said it like 20 billion times, people are going through a lot. And the world's in pain, and they need to, like, see it virtually, see our hand extended out virtually more now more than ever.
I agree with that completely. Absolutely. I think for me, too, I mean, we have been through a lot of change, and COVID has forced, as you mentioned, Nancy, so many people to stay inside, to isolate, a forced type of isolation, if you will. And we know, especially as adults, survivors of child abuse thing, when our happy place or a safe place was outside the home or getting out in some capacity. I completely agree. And one thing I actually really kind of recognized was that with NASCA and the shows, even through COVID, the platform has not changed. It's been the same. I know in our workplaces, we may have changed how we work. We may have gone from being in person to having to be online. But when it comes to how the shows are conducted, how they're rolled out, how they're accessed, how those, you know, how they're participated in when they're live, nothing has changed during COVID. It's all the same. It's on Blog Talk Radio. You call in via phone number. So I don't know if that's impactful for anybody who's sick and tired of change with COVID and having to be forced to do things differently, but with the NASCA shows, nothing has changed. It's the same. It's been consistent. That gives me some comfort.
It has been fairly consistent. There's one thing that has changed, and I don't want to be—I don't want people to think I don't recognize it. But we used to have the Zoom meeting in a house, in my house, in Florida, and we just started to have it, and it was maybe a couple of months old, and it was starting to catch on in the region. When COVID came up, it's like, oh, nobody's coming over now, you know, so. Mm-hmm. I searched around and found Zoom, and decided to put the same kind of idea on Zoom. So the Zoom meeting that we have on, but we were already doing it just to a different group of people, because now it didn't matter where you were living. Just like the show, Doesn't matter where you're living. As long as you can get to a phone or a computer, you're in. You know, that's it. So that's a little change. But we are.
I was talking specifically about this. I was talking specifically about the shows in the evening, the blog talk radio shows.
They have not changed.
Hey, I think that's a good idea, Bill, as he said that. Zoom. Like a Zoom thing maybe once a week or something. I agree with you about the comfort. Like I didn't come even to the radio show for a while, and I was really glad that it was the same when I came back, you know? So trauma survivors, you know, that is key for them. I like that. But it was only, and I listen to a lot of internet radio and have followed them over the years for about 10 years now and seen them change and evolve. And so I was wondering to myself why it was at the beginning of this conversation that I wasn't, you know, as my brain kind of scanned for marketing ideas, because I do think that's kind of fun and do the, you know, some of those things just personally, just because they're fun. I didn't want to move until you said that Zoom thing. And then I realized there have been some YouTube, some channels. It's not exclusively YouTube. These people have platforms in various places. But that one where there's the Zoom meeting, where there's like up to six people on the screen, you know, I don't know, it just might add something it just might attract people. And I really see a need for it, you guys. I really, really do see a need for it. A need for the part of the process where one says, this is it. This is what happened to me, and it hurt really badly. But the part that's like a cutting through the denial is what I'll say. Even in a lot of it's just not focused on anywhere else. There's no other place to really get down with that part of it, you know? And I think it's crucial. If any of these cases were in a court of law, we'd have to go through it, you know? You have to talk about what happened. You know, not to the degree that it's going to hurt you,
let me make sure you know that we do have three Zoom meetings a week, right? And they are daytime meetings, and they do a slightly different job than the radio show does, but they're sharing meetings, and they have a designated facilitator. We don't call them hosts; we call them facilitators, who, you know, opens the show, welcomes people, keeps the show on track and also the behavior on track. Because, you know, Zoom meetings, everybody who, if you have it set up the way we do, anybody who wants to join, joins. And then they have to behave. But the host or the facilitator has a couple of tools where they can, you know, if the person doesn't behave, they can kick them out. That rarely happens, but they have it. And then we have a format that's made up. We have some technical tools that we have, and we have a little bit of literature that's written out, and it's worked really well. And they're 90-minute shows too. They're not shows; they're kind of groups meeting, and they're on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. Is it 2 o'clock Eastern? So 11 o'clock. Pacific. And all the information is right on the front page of the website.
So do those meetings get any traffic on Facebook and YouTube, though? That would
No.
be my question. And that's where I think it might be helpful to do that. And maybe, you know, it's not a call-in Zoom meeting. You know, you could set it up so that it's not a call-in Zoom meeting. It's just it's a Zoom meeting of prior show, we could do it with professionals, like the show you used to do once a week with professionals, along with people that you know who've been on the show over and over and over again, who you trust a little, so that there isn't so much monitoring, you know, even concern about that, you know, because people aren't, it's not just live callers calling in.
You know, I don't think it's so much.
But then it gets traffic on YouTube so that people see it's there.
I don't know how to do that, but these meetings have been in existence long enough now, since the beginning of COVID, that they have their own kind of structure, their own, a little bit of an organizational structure, that I would not want to do something to them without their input. So I would go to them and say, there's this idea that's come up. What do you guys think about it? And if they agreed with it, fine. If they didn't, that'd have to be fine, too. That's how I see it. But here's the thing. I don't think it's a matter of changing our how we do stuff. I think it's a matter of changing where we do stuff, because we have a lot of groups now, let's say in Facebook, for example, that are child abuse groups. But, if you don't promote stuff in the other groups, you never spread out. So we're staying in the NASCA groups pretty much uniquely, because that's the group that sees our posts over and over and over and over and over, and that's how Facebook works. But if you can go out and find other groups that are child abuse groups and post the same post in there, you start to spread the knowledge base that NASCA even exists. So I think that's more what really has to happen. But it could be wrong.
So I was agreeing with you that it's where, but I said YouTube also. What about YouTube?
Yeah. I don't know how to do it, but I've done some video with, on the website. You've seen the videos I've done? They're just me talking, but they're pretty good. I did them a couple of years ago.
Yes, I have. You're on you access them from the website. See, it's like if we could get that you doing that over on the YouTube. I'm not sure exactly. Like, I couldn't tell you right now what are these steps A, B, C to do that either. So it's kind of like, I don't know, but I know maybe a little bit more. And so I'm thinking, okay. Just getting ideas.
Well,
I agree with you, Blair. It's become like an echo chamber is what it's called. I think you're saying that. Not really, because, of the material and the authenticity of the material that we deal with. But
you can also take these shows and promote them on other platforms, because they're just podcasts, and they work anywhere else too.
I've done that.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Something I keep feeling like I like the idea of the face. It's been exclusively audio, but something about the face, like it'll make it jazzier. It's something. it's like people want that now. I think they want to see people's faces. It's just from what I'm watching, from I feel my urges to do too, because I use it a lot. To listen and watch.
Some do, and some don't, because it's a delicate process of becoming comfortable.
You're right.
Becoming comfortable with other people knowing. So.
Yeah, you're right too. Yeah, it's a deeper kind of issue. But
so
I remember
got,
some of the
25 minutes left.
Like
I
those
hope
shows
somebody
with the
else will come.
Like those shows. Once a week you do, there's a show you do once a week with professionals and resources in the field or something. That was a show I used to listen to a lot. That was great. I'm picturing maybe a Zoom, a Zoom meeting like that, that can be reposted. Because we don't have control of the traffic.
That show was dedicated to the community policing site. But we did work into it with some child abuse issues and so forth and topics. But that's where it started, with the LACP site. And what happened was I got too busy with NASCA to keep it up, frankly. So we've suspended it. We still own the name and so forth, and 600 or 700 episodes have been done. But there's no reason we couldn't And in that case, you know, Community Matters could cover other topics that we are not going to cover on NASCA because NASCA has a singleness of purpose. Community Matters doesn't. Community Matters is a broader, sort of broad public safety and health and so forth. You know, that it can be any of those topics, and that's a lot of topics. But anyway, we're not talking about doing that right now.
Okay.
Now, did I push Penelope out of the way here? Did I?
No, I'm here.
I'm capable.
No, no problem. No problem.
Okay.
But I think, you know, what I'm hearing is a couple things from Nancy and also from Regular Girl. So with Nancy, I heard, let's do some more marketing on just spreading the word about the different NASCA platforms for really outreach and sharing, you know, being able to share one's story or get information, whether it's on the blog talk radio shows or through the recovery Zoom meetings 3 days a week. But I'm hearing just to increase awareness through marketing. And I'm hearing also from Ugly Girl, it's nice to be able to see the whites of somebody's eyes. See some faces. I'm hearing that, and I know that we offer that on the in the daytime recovery group meetings, but not so much. Blog talk radio shows are exactly that. They're call-in. So am I correct? And I'll start with Nancy. And from what I've heard, in terms of some additional suggestions on NASCA outreach and how we're doing and what we could supplement or augment to increase participation. So I just want to test my understanding. Okay, well, Nancy, maybe Nancy's on mute. So, and Regular Girl, I think what I heard.
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm agreeing with you. Definitely us raising awareness and letting survivors know that this support groups, this radio station exists, and this support group organization also exists, and that they're not alone. And if when they're ready to step forward and share their story, this is a platform where they are able to share their story. Or if they need the resources and support, this is that place. So definitely, yeah, increasing some marketing. And I agree with the other lady again with what she said, that sometimes you do want to see some faces. And, you know, they're, just like Bill said, people are in different parts of their healing journey. So some are not ready to show their faces. And then many are. Like, you know, I would be okay talking and sharing and show my face, but I mean, some people, they're really just not in that place. So depending on where the person is, I'm sure we can get a few people at some point, right, to share, just having like dialogue like this, like video talking and sharing their testimonies. But that are not ready, that does not exclude you from sharing your story.
Mm-hmm. I think, thank you, and that's a good point. I mean, awareness that we never can, I don't think we can ever create too much awareness of what's available because you never know when someone's going to be ready. It could just be, you know, the right mind or at the right time. So just to keep those touch points coming and often, and that's a good reminder, and I think that that's something that we can step up on all of our different platforms of social media. So thank you for that. I don't know, Bill, if you have anything to respond or add to that.
Just that, again, group of Zoom meetings have existed now for a couple of years. So there's a core group that's got some background in it. And I'd want to talk to them before we made a major change. But we own Zoom, so we could do Zoom somewhere else. Now, if you put another Zoom meeting in at night, then what are you going to do? Are you going to take away one of the scan meetings? Maybe Wednesday night is Zoom scan? scan Zoom. And, you know, maybe you could. But right now we got a full schedule. Maybe some people have said we do too many shows. And that's why we're not getting enough guests. And that's why people have gotten tired of us. And it may be true. I don't know. But unless we do some study about it and talk about it and sharing about it and talk about our own feelings and experiences, you know, it's just going to sit there going along the same way it has without any impetus to change, you know, at all, because it's just the way it is. It's stuck there. I don't want to make it stuck there. On the other hand, I don't want to change just for the sake of changing. I guess that's what I'm saying. And
I didn't hear anything about a change. I didn't hear anything about a change. I think I heard just to remind, to increase awareness that and not for the evening in terms of Zoom offerings, but just the fact that what we currently have offering, which is the Blog Talk Radio scan shows, I just think more awareness that they're still in existence, that they happen every night of the week and what they are. I think it's just that more touch points in terms of reminders.
Right.
That's what I heard.
Well, I tell you, I mentioned earlier that our newsletter is not going out because it hasn't been for a few months. But there's an example of a tool that we already own that could be completely changed from what it was into what it can be, which is kind of a promotional tool. And, you know, it has 1,000 people to start with. But some of those will share it on their own, on other sites and so forth, and you can link to it with a little short URL, a short URL, and put a graphic, and you click on the graphic, it takes you to the newsletter, you know? So you could, if you have something like that, you could put that anywhere, you know, all month long, and every month it would change. So I don't know, there are various things that we could do. We could certainly talk more about it on the social media sites that we already have, including, of course, Facebook and LinkedIn. But I don't have a handle on how to do some of the other sites that we have, like Twitter and what's the other one? I'm not great at them.
Instagram,
I'm not great at anything. But, yeah.
What if I have an idea?
Uh-oh. That's dangerous.
I know. Yeah, it's like a Lucy idea. I can feel it. Okay. Yeah, but what if two or three people were to do a little 10-minute show together, Zoom show, right? And then,
yeah.
But really what I'm seeing is the end result, which is kind of like it would be like the show your face. Who's the other person who's here besides anyway, when you were talking, you talked about that, about showing your face. Some people are ready to show their face, some people aren't, but the showing your face thing is an issue. It would be almost like the show your face promo campaign, which would be maybe two or three people talking. If somebody knew how to edit video really well, but and that being the topic being whether or not you want to show your face, then maybe the values of showing your face, like these little short clips of each person talking about these aspects of showing your face, which is also a metaphor, right? But then saying at the end, a Stop Child Abuse Radio show, you know, and then you give the time. So it's a promo, and it would be because it was a video, it would be able to be shared in all kinds of platforms just to let people know that it's there, to let people know that we're here. And that issue of showing your face, you know, letting other people know that this happened to you. Like it's almost like perfect, because you wouldn't have to then talk about the details of the stories. You know, it wouldn't be a storytelling show, video. Okay, that's it. That was my idea. The Show Your Face campaign promo.
Hey, Lucy.
Explain it to me. Explain it to me.
I love that idea.
be hard
and
to do.
Way, yeah, somebody would have to. I can't do that. I don't have enough time. I mean, I know how to do it, but I don't have enough time. But I'm all for it if we want to do that. That's an extra project, and you know, it's a significant project, frankly. But you know, when you talk about Zoom meetings, you're not required to be on camera. You can be on a blank screen, and you can put your name in. You're not required to use your real name. So you can change whatever your Zoom name has been to something else just for that group, and have the camera black. And so when you want to talk, you electronically they raise their hand, but it's over a blank screen. You know, it's in the corner of a blank screen. Other people have their face, and they're talking, and they're being able to be seen. So are the black screen people. They can talk and be heard. You know, and when the people on screen want to share, they're waiting for their opportunity. They raise their hand electronically, and that's where the facilitator comes in, because he or she kind of has to keep track of who's raised their hand in what order, and also not to allow somebody to overdo it, you know, overtake the show. So that's what the facilitator's frankly for, and to keep it on track. And these things, by the way, I didn't mention this, but these are more similar to the sharing type meeting that you would have when you went to a group where you had a leader who maybe says a few words at the beginning and then starts calling on people as they raise their hand. And you get like 3 to 5 minutes, and that's it. And then when you're done, he or she calls on somebody else. Once everybody who's wanted to talk finishes talking, then you can go back to the original person if they want to. But that's the idea, is that it gives everybody a chance. And a lot of times it doesn't have to go around the whole group. But it can be, you know, four people are prominently sharing, and two mothers occasionally sharing. That happens too. So, but it's a sharing meeting is the point. And it's a crosstalk meeting, which is a little difficult. It's a little different. It's a meeting where somebody brings something up, and another person who's going to talk later is allowed to identify what you've said and speak to it, so that it could be critical. For example, it can be dangerous if it's not done right, but if it's done right, it can be very powerful too. So you're basically allowing a certain vulnerability when you go there, because you expect that you might be might be answered. Somebody might answer you. You know, it might even take you on a little bit, or say that they see it a different way, you know, and so forth. I think it's a powerful tool, but you have to be careful how you do it. And by the way, I have been in Zoom meetings that were 400 people. Not easy, but it can be done. And whoever is the lead of that, the administrator of that meeting, the facilitator, they have to have a really good, dexterity with running Zoom meetings. And they will also have co-hosts. They'll have assistants who can take a break off room and some back and forth. And it can be quite involved. But I think it's powerful, absolutely.
I had no idea that was going on. I had no idea that was possible.
Yeah. The meeting that we do each year, that's Deborah Warner's meeting in the summer. What's it called? Script. The script conference. It was held in person for a number of years, and I attended every one of them because it was in L.A. And then when COVID came along, they had to find a different way to do it. They went to Zoom. And the first time was a little bit choppy, but they pulled it off. The second and third one that I've attended now, it's smooth as silk. They know what they're doing. And these are the meetings where they have 400 and 500 people in them. So It's pretty impressive. You know.
I agree. We've gotten very adept, and you can do a lot in Zoom with a lot of people or with a few people. I do think you made a good point, Bill, and I just want to reiterate it. NASA does offer 3 Zoom meetings a week, group recovery meetings, and you survivors do have control in terms of choice. You have choices. You can choose to remain anonymous, completely anonymous, or you can choose to be as engaged as you wish if you want to participate, if you want to share your name, if you want to show your video, if you want to show your face, if you want to have your video camera on. So I think as a, you know, as a adult survivor of child abuse, I like to know I have choices and that I'm in control of my choices, and I think that's a point that needs to be restated. So I do think that, that's important, but I also feel that those Zoom recovery meetings that I've participated in are very, very well facilitated, and also you know, I, from my own testimony, you can be as anonymous as you wish. So I just want to make sure that those that may want to have total control over that choice, you are given total control over that choice.
That's right.
That's great.
Well, that's another reason that I liked it, because NASCA is all about allowing people to do what they want, never forcing anybody to do anything. So, you know, Zoom facilitates that.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, but I think it sounds great. As someone who's just hearing about it, so I'd love to tell people about it. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
The easiest way right now, regular to get the information is just go on the NASCA website. Just go on NASCA.org, so NASCA.org. And the Zoom recovery meetings, they're actually, you can just find them, information for them on the homepage. So they're really
good.
If you'd like to share that information, it's just right there on the NASCA website.
Okay. I hope I see you out there, too. You know. Okay.
I'm sorry, what was that? I think I missed.
Oh, I said, you know, I can't remember the exact words either, but I'd love to see you out there too, doing it, like, you know, promoting. Yeah, you can make a video.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Me too.
Maybe we can make
too,
one together. Okay.
Well, I know from your show, because I was the host on your show, that you are an artist, so I may have to ping you back and see if you're willing to volunteer some of your artistic expertise, because I remember that you are an artist. Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah.
I was. Yeah, I am. Okay,
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
And she's also a longtime member of NASCA. One of the longest, or maybe she's been with NASCA at least half of its life, more than that, 3/4 of its life. And as she said earlier on the show, Regular Girl was an eager and regular participant for a long time, maybe a couple of years or so, and then she kind of dropped off. And when she dropped off the radar, we didn't know what had happened to her. We didn't chase her or anything, but we kept her seat warm, and sure enough, she showed up again. And now we don't see as much of her as we did before, but she knows she's always welcome, and she has a really good understanding of sort of the general NASCA experience, definitely, because she's mm-hmm. she's lived it. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm dealing with, like, it's a part in my journey, recovery journey, that I'm dealing with visibility issues. Which is part of narcissistic abuse. You know, you can get visibility issues, and I'm dealing with that. It's like sort of a front page issue for me personally. So I'm back.
Well, I've noticed that. You know, recently, especially recently, but I mean over the last several months anyway, that you use a picture, for example. Which is great.
Yeah.
You've used your real name a few times without being prompted, which is great.
Once I discovered that it was a visibility issue, you know, due to the narcissistic abuse, something happened so that it's for a different reason, for, as example, why I post the picture. And it only matters that I know that, you know, because when we recover a little bit, one of the great things, and it's so hard, so it's great that there's great things. One of the great things is that peaceful feeling of being yourself, that authenticity, of, you know, for me, mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah.
So I'd like to share that, have a lot of other people. Yeah, so this is great. This has been really great.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I that makes sense to me, right, in terms of, and thank you for sharing that, because it's that's also educating our listeners and other people about some of the effects of narcissistic abuse and the invisibility that is suffered from the victim. Let's experience that. I shouldn't use the word victim because we're survivors. We're not victims.
Well, let
yeah,
me say that,
my response to Bill.
Yeah,
my response to Bill when Bill, when you asked me if I was an artist, and then I when Bill came in and said yes, you are, it like snapped in me. I woke up. I went, oh, that's right, the visibility issue. You know, of course I am. Like just who I am. From the time I was a small child, creative, and then here I am in front of, yeah, huge. So that was quite a moment.
So I want to say something. We got only a minute left here, but I want to say something to the newcomer, and that is that you may find that as you recover, there will be other, we call them issues, there'll be other topics or other parts of your life that you'll recognize as being having a need for improvement, like what Regular Girl just talked about. That's not on the regular menu of recovery, but it is on the menu of recovery, and not everybody's going to experience it. But if you do, or if you have some other experience, you recognize, oh, I overeat, and I do that for a reason, you know, because my parents always told me to do blah, 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 whatever it is. That could be an issue that's related to your child abuse. Someday you may, you know, discover other things, is what I'm saying, that they are to be dealt with in recovery from the trauma of child abuse. But the first thing to do is to raise your self-esteem, you know, and lower your ego, frankly, so you can, so you can be a member among members. Frankly, that's it. You know, one of
them. Well, thank you, Bill.
You bet.
I love the way you said that. Thank you. That was great, Bill.
Very nicely stated. Very nicely stated. Well, I wish to thank Nancy Brown, our NASA sister and Regular Girl, another NASA family member, and, of course, Bill, for joining me on the show this evening. This has been scan number 2831. And as I always say this on NASA shows, it is all of our responsibility to keep our children safe. There are enough adult eyes on this planet to keep every single child safe. If you see something, please say something. Thank you and good night.
Night.
Blog Talk Radio.